Today on Compassion Radio.
When I quickly learned that these refugees that were coming were all Syrian, Middle Eastern refugees. And so I was very excited about this opportunity. I quickly said yes.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. David Chavez is a dynamic young man who's been involved in missions his whole life. His heart for refugees has taken him to places like Bolivia, Greece, and other parts of the Middle East. Some time back, God helped him start the Bridges Language Academy in South Florida, a nonprofit whose main goal is to teach English as a second language to those seeking asylum from persecution. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of a conversation Bram had with David.
Friends, welcome to Compassion Radio, and we are all about discovering the new thing God is doing in some of the most unusual places. Now, some of those most unusual places can be the most familiar to us. So we're going to focus on a part of the world that many people have gone to visit, maybe on vacation, maybe you live down there. In the state of Florida, there's a young man named David Chavez, and he's a 26-year-old that had an interesting encounter with the gospel while doing short-term missions work. And I want to welcome him aboard Compassion Radio today.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you, son, because this is going to be a great talk, because you did something a little unusual. You didn't just go on a short-term missions project, which I want to ask you about. You came back a different person and decided to plug yourself into finding the thing that would make the biggest difference right where you are. So first of all, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with short-term missions back in 2013.
I grew up on the mission field. My mom and my dad were missionaries in Bolivia when I was born, and I've lived on the mission field for most of my life, and I've been blessed to be part of kingdom work. I've been blessed to learn on how to engage communities, how to share the story of Jesus, on being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in a practical way, and have opportunities to plant seeds of love, peace, kindness, and forgiveness to the people that were in front of me.
Being a good third culture kid, you have an appreciation for the universality, I guess, of the gospel, and that when we talk about kingdom, third culture kids get this. They realize that they've been born into something that's unique. It's a subculture. Not many people get that experience of growing up fully vested in the life of the kingdom in other cultures, but also having a strong tie back to your mother culture, which in your case is the U.S. So you have a rich treasure there, but it doesn't often feel like that to kids who grow up that way. Did you ever have any struggles with identity or figuring out that this was a blessing and not a curse?
Oh, certainly, certainly. I've always had a difficult time with where is home? My heart is with different people groups with different languages. It was always difficult to find a sense of having roots.
Yeah.
Having the ability to speak different languages, you know, has given me the ability to engage with different people groups and communities that have allowed me to learn new stories, new ways of doing things, new types of foods, and so it has broadened my vision for the kingdom as I was growing up.
And that is something that really is useful to the kingdom, for sure. Now, you grew up. You have a scientific bent. You're now working as a research scientist, working on important things having to do with all kinds of medical advances, and that brought you to South Florida. So is that where you thought you were going to settle in and make your mark in the world, was in science?
No, not at all. Not at all. Being in clinical research is something I stumbled upon simply for getting by, actually. My heart and my passion is to be able to engage into different parts of the world and follow the dreams that my father had in reaching unreached people groups. And so I've always had the urge of wanting to go places, of wanting to live in different countries where the gospel was not known well.
Okay. So this particular vocation then is really your bridge into the things that you really have a passion for.
It pays my bills.
Amen to that. It's always nice to have some bills paid while you're doing the Lord's work. So you have this career, which you were not expecting. God kind of placed that one in your lap. And then just a few years ago in your mid-20s, you decided to step out and go do some more missions work. And you went to where?
I went to Greece. I went to the city of Athens. I was there for about 3 weeks, and we were teaching English to the immigrants that were coming in from North Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia. And since Athens, Greece is a gateway into Europe, everyone wanted to go into Europe had to go through Athens, Greece. And so we were there right at the front doors at a small Korean church teaching English to the people that were coming by.
Interesting. And this is right at where things were starting to peak with all of the refugee crisis coming out of Syria and the boat people coming across the ocean at the same time, wasn't it?
Yes, 2013, when we were hearing horrendous stories at that time of families risking their own lives and going on a journey into Europe, leaving everything behind.
So you're caught in kind of a whirlwind of the world's greatest story, really. I mean, the news was all over this for a while, and you just happened to be there at that time. And your ambition was to do something very noble, help those who were trying to get relocated and make the bridge from one culture to another as they pursued a new life in Europe. So you were teaching English through this church. And how successful was the program?
It was successful. Many of the students that stayed in Athens, Greece, really were able to learn the English language. There were many of those that were there for only weeks. It was difficult at times as well. I think the true success comes when we see these families, these men and women who are being touched by Christ through us, by planting seeds of love, of peace, and of joy into their lives.
Amen.
Every time we left the English class, it was always touching. They've always invited us to their homes to have dinner or lunch as a way of saying thank you for what you are doing.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members, but sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful, artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I've always had the urge of wanting to go places, of wanting to live in different countries where the gospel was not known well.
Okay. So this particular vocation then is really your bridge into the things that you really have a passion for.
It pays my bills.
Amen to that. It's always nice to have some bills paid while you're doing the Lord's work. So you have this career, which you were not expecting. God kind of placed that one in your lap. And then just a few years ago in your mid-20s, you decided to step out and go do some more missions work. And you went to where?
I went to Greece. I went to the city of Athens. I was there for about 3 weeks, and we were teaching English to the immigrants that were coming in from North Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia. And since Athens, Greece is a gateway into Europe, everyone wanted to go into Europe had to go through Athens, Greece. And so we were there right at the front doors at a small Korean church teaching English to the people that were coming by.
Interesting. And this is right at where things were starting to peak with all of the refugee crisis coming out of Syria and the boat people coming across the ocean at the same time, wasn't it?
Yes, 2013, when we were hearing horrendous stories at that time of families risking their own lives and going on a journey into Europe, leaving everything behind.
So you're caught in kind of a whirlwind of the world's greatest story, really. I mean, the news was all over this for a while, and you just happened to be there at that time. And your ambition was to do something very noble, help those who were trying to get relocated and make the bridge from one culture to another as they pursued a new life in Europe. So you were teaching English through this church. And how successful was the program?
It was successful. Many of the students that stayed in Athens, Greece, you know, really were able to learn the English language. There were many of those that were there for only weeks. You know, so it was difficult at times as well. I think the true success comes when we see these families, these men and women who are being touched by Christ through us, you know, by planting seeds of love, of peace, and of joy into their lives.
Amen.
Every time we left the English class, you know, it was always touching. They've always invited us to their homes to have dinner or lunch as a way of saying thank you for what you are doing.
Now, those are special times. I know what it's like to sit down and just across the table see someone's real life. Their faces come alive when they're in their own homes, across their own tables, and when they have a chance to be the host to an honored guest. Something just happens in people. And what a treasure it is to be able to enjoy that and to receive it. Now, from that experience, you came back to the States, and your experience, or this experience planted a bug in you more than just satisfied a curiosity. What happened when you got back home?
Well, I left Europe, and I had a big burden in my heart. The Lord really put this people group in my heart, and I didn't know what to do, because we don't have that type of population here in the United States, in South Florida. And so I was moved by what we were doing, and I came back, and I realized that South Florida is a gateway for immigrants that are coming here who are looking for a better life, who have escaped oppression, who have escaped persecution from countries like Cuba, Haiti, Colombia, Panama, Guatemala.
Did you find that to be the case? Most of the immigrants that you were meeting were refugees of some sort.
They were refugees, but they did not have the title refugee.
And that's a tough one, because the title refugee has certain connotations about being strictly about an active war zone. And
yes.
Or if you're not one of those kind of refugees, you don't really qualify in the minds of many, because you're obviously just an economic opportunist. But you had experience close up with those who were in the South Florida area, coming from all these different regions of the world. And what would you say was the number one cause that people made the effort, that took the dangerous route and came all the way from their countries to America?
Well, I mean, we've seen families that have come from Panama who have escaped gangs, from El Salvador, from Cuba. There's a lot of families that came from there who were oppressed by the economic system in Cuba and from Colombia as well.
So these people are now in your lap, and no one's taken them up on the opportunity to learn or get enculturated, if nothing else, and more specifically, to learn the language efficiently and effectively so they can communicate well in their country of adoption. So what did you do?
Well, one of the first things I did was I went to every adult ESL school in my community.
And by ESL, you mean English as a second language?
Yes, that's correct. And I went and I visited, I taught there, I volunteered there, and I learned that there are two types of students. There are students who want to pursue an academic career, and there are the other type of student who simply wants to learn how to say hello, how are you, mm-hmm. how do I get to my bus stop.
Yeah.
And the second type of students tended to be a lot older students, mid-30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s. And so the ESL schools did an amazing job being able to teach those that wanted to pursue an academic career, but there were some deficiencies with these students who needed additional practice, who needed consistent repetition. And so I started Bridges Language Academy, and my goal was to help those students who simply wanted to get by, who needed those basic survival skills, those same the same type of student that I was seeing in Athens, Greece.
So how many did you find?
We had between 25 to 30 students coming from Guatemala, from Cuba, and from Colombia.
And this is not a for-profit school you've started here. This is all volunteer.
This is all volunteer. I received the books through donation from families and friends, and the church that I hosted the English classes was a Spanish church down in the city of Lake Worth.
And how many volunteers work with you now?
At that time, we had about 5 to 10 volunteers working with me.
And the school is still going?
The school is still going.
Amen. So you're maintaining a current enrollment around the same, or is it growing each year?
Well, that's where it gets interesting for our ESL school. It wasn't until 2015 where we were approached by Church World Service, which is the resettlement agency, one of the nine that has permission to resettle refugees that were processed by the United Nations into the United States. Contacted me and asking me if I'd be willing to teach English to their quote clients, families in our community. And what I quickly learned was that these refugees that were coming were all Syrian, Middle Eastern refugees. And so I was very excited about this opportunity. I quickly said yes. And pretty soon we started seeing a lot more Syrian refugee families in our classroom, and no longer our Haitian and our South American families. But we quickly became a school, a safe place for Syrian refugees to learn the English language.
So the very people that you had such a passion for while you were in Greece, the people you didn't think you'd ever have a chance to reach again, but inspired you to start a school that you could help anybody you might find in your life in South Florida were suddenly back in your lap. It seemed like an interesting interlude that God would bring you through that stage of becoming proficient in the art and the skill of helping anybody learn the language and become, you know, new American citizen or resident was the very skill that God needed you to be prepared for and prepared with in order to minister to the people that were just going to suddenly flood back into your living rooms down there in South Florida. So I think it's marvelous how God put a few important divine appointments in a row that he intended to prepare you for what was coming. And now we're in a situation now nationally, as you well know, that there's a lot of backlash now about the very notion of the world coming to us again, especially those from those countries where they're under the most threat from ISIS or Daesh, as they call them over there. How do you handle the politics and the anti-Arab mentality that seems to be rising up so much in this country? What do you do as a minister to those who are here because they've also been crushed by that same Arab, the same anti-Christian, anti-Western worldview? How do you deal with that situation and communicate to the Christian family especially that this ministry is so necessary for those who are now in our country?
Yes. You know, for since I returned from Athens, Greece, I've been trying to get back to Europe. I've been trying to get back to the Middle East or go to the Middle East, but the Lord just kept closing those doors on me.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members, but sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful, artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now, today when you support Compassion Radio financially, we'll send you a copy, at your request, of the Psalms in Color coloring book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. And we'll send you a copy today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800 866-268-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or visit CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word GIVE to 53445. That's the word GIVE to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are so thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.